Good morning, and thank you once again for meeting with us here in the daily devotional slot of Valley Baptist Church. It's Monday the 3rd of August, and this is the start of a very special week in Valley Baptist Church. This is our virtual holiday Bible club. We have this every year, but this year, because of the pandemic, we're not able to meet with the boys and girls in the church, but we would like to invite you to meet with the Holiday Bible Club team on the internet, either on Facebook, at the Valley Baptist page on Facebook, or go to our internet site, www.valleybaptist.org, and to join with them there at 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday to Friday. And again, I believe there's another session at 6:30 in the evening as well. But if you join tomorrow morning, you'll hear all about what's happening during the week. So join Caroline, Calvin and team for the Holiday Bible Club. And those of us who cannot be there or otherwise doing something else, but do remember them in prayer. Make them a special matter for prayer this week, that God will move amongst the boys and girls and families who listen in as the word of God and the gospel is sent out day by day. And there's crafts and other things that the children will enjoy. So I'd encourage you to join with them there. Now, I want us this morning to turn to another question in Scripture. We've been looking at these questions over the past number of weeks. And the question I want us to look at is that question that God asks of Adam. In Genesis chapter 3, the first question that God asks of mankind, and the question is this: where art thou? This is a question that is asked even today of mankind. Believer and unbeliever, God would ask us this morning, where are you? Where are you as far as God is concerned? You know the background to the story, how that God has created Adam and Eve and placed them in that perfect garden, the Garden of Eden. And at the very start, whenever God placed Adam in the garden, he gives him an instruction. And he says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we know how that in the process of time, Satan entered into the garden and tempted Eve. And we read there in chapter 3, at the start of the chapter 3, how that Eve took of the fruit and of the tree of knowledge of good and evil after being deceived by Satan. And she did eat of it, it says, and gave unto her husband, and he ate also. And you find there that Adam, in deliberate contravention of the law of God, ate of that tree. And it says that when they ate of the tree, that their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And you see, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And having partaken of the fruit, they now know the difference between good and evil. And here, they see their nakedness as being an affront to them, and it says that they saw that they were ashamed whenever they saw that they were naked, and they sought to cover up their nakedness. But not only did they seek to cover their nakedness from each other, they sought to hide themselves from God, because you find them hiding amongst the trees of the garden. It says that in chapter in verse 8. And so the one who was formed in the image of God, placed in that perfect environment, has sinned against his God by disobeying his word. And whenever God comes to meet with him, as he did daily, whenever God comes to meet with him, he's ashamed. His sin has made him ashamed. And he hides himself from God. And God confronts him, and God asks him to, what are you doing? Where are you? And he says, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. Because I was naked. And I hid myself. I'm afraid. And God says to him, who told you? Have you done what you were told not to do? Now, God is asking questions here. Not that God didn't know. But he wanted to confront Adam and Eve with the enormity of their sin. And you know, sin's a terrible thing. Sometimes we count sin as a small thing. Or we say there's big sins and wee sins, there's lies and there's white lies, and there's all kinds of excuses we make. Adam made an excuse for his sin. And God says, why did you do this? And more or less, that's what God has said to him. He says, wherefore hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And of course Adam, he starts to make an excuse. Well, he says it was her, the woman. She gave me to eat, and you gave me the woman. And therefore, indirectly, he's blaming God for his sin. How often we seek to blame others, yea, even God, for her sin. But God brings Adam face to face and Eve face to face with her sin. But not only does he bring them face to face with her sin, he gives them a promise of redemption. And he gives them a type of that redemption because he makes coats for them to cover their nakedness. And in the giving them of the coats, he had to slay animals, and the blood of the animals was shed. And so to cover their nakedness, to cover their sin, blood was shed. And that's a lovely type of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to shed his blood, that our sins might be atoned for, that our sins might be covered. And so you see, dear friend, this morning, maybe you're listening to this and you're not saved. And sin to you is a little thing. Well, sin's not a little thing. Sin separates between you and God. Now, Adam didn't die physically at this stage. He lived for a long time after this physically. But he died spiritually, separated spiritually from God. And you see, that's death. That's the second death. When you go to Revelation chapter 20, and it says there about the great white throne, and it says before it, the small and great were gathered. Everyone was gathered. Death and hell and the seas, they all gave up their dead, and they appeared before the white throne, the great white throne of judgment. And it tells us when the books were opened, and it tells us that those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And it says this is the second death. Dear unsaved friend, that is where you're heading if you die unrepentant. But you know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And then the 1 John 5:12 says this, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. See, you might not think you're a sinner. But Romans 3:23 says this, all have sinned. For all have sinned. That includes you. That includes me. Born in sin. Practice sin. Live in sin. If we die in that sin, we'll be cast into the lake of fire. Hell itself. I urge you today to be found at the cross, not in the place of death and disobedience where Adam was found, but to be found at the cross. Oh, come to the cross. Christ will meet you there. That's where you'll find life and life eternal. Look unto him and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Look unto him. You know, maybe you've been saved for years. But the same question applies to you and me this morning. Where art thou? Where am I with God today? In these days it's so easy to get disheartened, downhearted, and get to a place where we're in distress, maybe even at times. And I think of Elijah, the great Elijah the prophet. Done great things for God on Mount Carmel whenever he set the test between the God of heaven and on Baal. And how that the 450 prophets of Baal cried to their gods to send down the fire to consume their offering. But the fire never came. Then we read how Elijah placed his offering upon the altar, cried to the God of heaven, and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. But you know, a short time later, whenever Jezebel hears of what has happened, because the prophets of the Baal, Elijah took and slew them. She threatens the life of Elijah, and Elijah, with a lack of faith, runs away. And we find him eventually in the cave in Horeb. And we hear the voice of God say to him there, "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" Elijah says, "You know, I'm the only one." And I'm paraphrasing this. "I'm the only one that's standing up for you, God. And now I'm even threatened." And he's in a place of distress. He's in a place of disappointment and distress. And you know, God says, "Elijah, you're not the only one. There's still 7,000 people in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal." Sometimes we think we're the only ones involved in the things of God. And if we're not getting the pat on the back and all the rest of it, we begin to get a bit like Elijah, and disappointed, and we're distressed, and we think we're the only one. But you know, there are many out there, just like the Holiday Bible Club workers this week, that whole team, every one of them working for God. Oh, pray for them this week. Pray for them this week. We're not the only ones involved in God's work. There are many whose names we'll never know, involved in the things of God, working away in his service. You know, we could be like Mary. We ought to be like Mary. Where do we find Mary of Bethany? We find Mary at the feet of Jesus, waiting on his word, coming to him in prayer, worshipping him there. May we be like Mary. May we be found at the feet of Jesus. But oh, if you're unsaved, may you be found at the cross this week. And child of God, be found this week, like Mary of Bethany, at the feet of Jesus. Bring to him all your disappointments and all your cares. Leave them there and know his blessing and his help and his guidance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you at this, the start of another day, at the start of another week. We commit the issues of it to thee in prayer. And Father, we pray especially today for the work of the Holiday Bible Club, not only today but throughout this week. Father, bless your word and bring forth fruit unto salvation. And for us your children, Lord, keep us. Keep us at your feet in these days. And may we ever be able to answer the question, "Where art thou?" May we ever be able to say, "I'm at the feet of Jesus." Hear our prayer, Lord. Answer and glorify thy name. Amen.